Wild Tales is sponsored by Cotswold Outdoor. When we're out in the elements, we're in our element. And outside retail expert Cotswold Outdoor is helping more of us to get out with the right kit. Thanks also to their support, the National Trust is helping walking communities to access the UK's outside spaces. And we're working to fix 15,000 kilometres of paths and trails by 2030 for everyone to enjoy. Find your element with Cotswold Outdoor.
To know that a chaffinch you hear back home is different to one that you'd hear in a more urban or rural space, you know that that chaffinch is local to you. And that feels kind of special, I think, to know that they're just like us, really.
Hello, I'm Ranger Rosie Holdsworth, and for this episode, I'm handing you over to fellow ranger and bird lover Ajay Tagala to speak about the curious world of chaffinches and the mission to find their disappearing urban song. Welcome to the wild tale of bird accents.
When I was about 4 years old, I remember my parents taking me to feed the ducks on my local river and learning to identify the different species of water birds, from the various ducks to a grey heron, which, to my four-year-old self, looked gigantic. Ever since then, I've been fascinated by birds, and particularly passionate about conservation. I recently came across a fact that chaffinches, a small songbird, have different accents in urban and rural areas. I wanted to speak to someone who could tell me more.
Hello, Joe. How are you doing?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad, thanks.
I rang up Joe Cooper, a researcher with the British Trust for Ornithology and a specialist in bioacoustics. In other words, he's an expert in birdsong.
So I've liked birds all my life. It kind of stems very young, being a child that never slept. And so I was just given to my grandparents and they'd just take me for walks around the estate and they'd point out robins. They knew kind of all the common urban birds and things, and then it just sprang from there. This was the thing that I was kind of born to do. I've done a number of projects over 10, 15 years looking at the various different aspects of song, how you measure it, and then really intricate stuff into behavior, kind of how song is learned, why song can be learned differently by different species.
Chaffinches have always fascinated Joe with their blue cap and salmon chest. But what Joe loves most about them is their song.
I mean, I think it's really nice. It's quite powerful. It's about 3 seconds long, roughly, and it's a kind of a trill and a flourish, and it's usually about 5 to 6 phrases long. So it will go do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, bling, something like that. So chaffinches have 2 to 6 different songs, and they learn very precisely, but not completely precisely. Accents are just a general product of social learning. So the idea that you're trying to imitate something else that you've seen in your environment. In vocal learning, you know, you're kind of listening to everyone that's around you. So what you get is, okay, if we compare it to humans, you're pronouncing, I don't know, was rather than was, or, you know, all these different things. So you're transitioning towards that sound that you're hearing most in your environment. And that process is kind of universal to humans across to birds. One of our estimates at the minute is that a chaffinch song has a roughly 50-kilometre, 30-mile radius. So individuals within that radius, it's within their soundscape to learn this song. They might not necessarily produce it, but they'll be able to hear it in their environment. And then outside of that, they won't be able to hear it.
I love that. I think that's great.
But chaffinches, once the second most common garden bird, are under threat.
They've encountered this disease, finch trichinomosis. And since then, their population has crashed. It's believed that this condition is correlated with feeding activity in people's gardens. We think it's being transmitted at feeding stations, and maybe these feeders haven't been cleaned as well as perhaps they should be. And yeah, that's resulted in this crash, particularly in kind of urban populations. So if you go to woodlands now, the chaffinch population is kind of unaffected. But your town population's, you know, quite absent at the minute off Chaffinch Song.
So that means it's harder to record and get lots of recordings of the urban voices to then compare to the rural.
It's been a tough time to record. I had a project in 2016 during the decline, and my plan was to record 50 birds 1 year, go back and record them again and see what changed. And I had 50 birds in the first year and 11 in the second year.
But Joe, who loves this bird song, is not willing to let them go so easily. New technology, smartphones and apps like Merlin that help people detect bird song, means that it doesn't take an expert to identify and record them. And recording urban and rural chaffinch songs may have some important benefits for conservation.
This disease is likely to affect their ability to produce song. And if you're able to record birds in urban, suburban environments, the theory states that we should be able to detect if this bird is diseased or not.
So that's amazing. People can not only find out whether it's got a different accent, but actually whether it's got the disease or not, just by recording with their own phone.
Potentially, yeah. I mean, this is a kind of, it's a hypothetical, but there are characteristics of the song which they should have learned when they were young. And so you'll be able to detect whether the bird has learned well, but you'll then also be able to tell whether it's producing the song badly, if that makes sense. So it's kind of, I don't know, a drunk pianist or something like that. There'll be something in there that will say, oh, they have the knowledge, but they aren't quite getting it right.
The right notes in the wrong order, that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing. That's such a fascinating piece of work.
As Joe was speaking, I felt that there was something we could do. I wanted to make sure these accents are protected, to see if we could find these different songs and maybe, if we're lucky, contribute to their conservation. But I knew what the biggest challenge would be. I needed someone who could help me find these urban chaffinch songs. As Joe said, chaffinches are in decline in urban areas, so they're not always easy to find. I set off to Pett's Wood on the edge of southeast London to meet fellow birder Shaniz Mustafa. Once the best place to spot a chaffinch was in your back garden, but as their numbers decline, we want to give ourselves the best chance to find them. Pett's Wood and the Hawkwood Estate have a huge range of environments in a small area. Open grassland, farmland, and a woodland that erupts into bluebells in the spring. As I began to search for the chaffinches, a chance encounter showed me at least where they'd been before.
Hello, I'm Ian Johnson and I'm a volunteer in the Pett's Wood and Hawkwood Estate, National Trust Estate, and I've known these woods since 1944. As a boy, I was also interested in bird watching since I think probably about the age of 7 when I first saw a missel thrush in the back garden. I was recording what were the birds I was seeing each year in the woods.
Ian brings out a school book with neat handwriting and columns of birds, dates and notes. In it are firecrests, song thrushes and chaffinches.
I haven't got a particularly vivid memory because they were so common. You know, you'd see them and you'd know them. But now you hardly ever see them, and that's the main thing I can think about them at the moment. Pity, really. I can't even really envisage what they sound like, which is odd. Tell me what they sound like.
I'm at the edge of Pett's Wood with Shaniz Mustafa, and we're reminding ourselves of that distinctive chaffinch call as we head off on our search.
It's like a doo-doo.
Yeah.
It's almost like a verbal tapping. Or
it reminds me of like a ball landing on a surface and going and then, yeah, coming off at the end.
Shaniz is an ecologist and an advocate for UK Youth for Nature. She grew up in Bromley, southeast London. And if anyone can find their way around Pett's Wood, it's her.
It is one of the places that means the absolute most to me. The bit that we're at now is sort of the Pett's Wood Hawkwood Estate, which led up to my secondary school, so I used to walk there sometimes. And even now, like, I'm sure if you can hear that, The birds are amazing.
And I love how we're just on the edge of this housing estate, and then we're going to go into the woods, into like another world, really.
I know. Oh, it's going to bring back memories.
Can you remember any early connections to birds here?
I think I always associated, as other people do, sort of wood pigeons with summer, no matter what. Although, granted, as a child, I thought they were owls, but I really had that wrong.
Ah.
but it was always sort of a background soundtrack to the change of the seasons.
So to help us with our birdsong identification, I know you're pretty good, you know your birds, but I always find it's great to have the good old Merlin app.
Absolutely.
Just for a little bit of extra support. Merlin is a free app you can get on a smartphone. It's not 100% accurate, but it can provide a helping hand in identifying birdsong. Shall we pause a minute and listen to what we can hear? Some jackdaws and crows.
Of course, the parakeet. Yeah, song thrush. I saw a song thrush past the primary school as I came along here. I've never seen one so blatantly by a road.
Why do you think birdsong is important in urban areas?
I think it lets people know the sort of the change of the seasons. And I think that in an area where it's so man-made and all of those noises, I personally don't like it very much. So being in a space where you can hear birdsong, I think, is really important for people to relax for their well-being, enjoy where they live in such a time where, you know, not people don't have access to natural spaces. And having an opportunity for people to learn about where they're from, gather a sense of community and sort of a sense of place of where they live, having that deep connection. So that woodpecker could be really far away, but it just sounds so close how loud it
is. Yeah, it's almost that sort of dip in the ground there. It's almost like it's sort of somehow amplifying the sound, I think.
Yeah.
And we're sort of like in an amphitheatre and we're kind of hearing it from the other side projected this way.
They're so noisy.
Yeah. It feels to me like the bird calls are louder here than the ones back home where I live, in a slightly quieter, more rural setting. How do you think chaffinch accents can give people that sense of place?
I think it's knowing that their calls are different if they're from a rural or an urban area, in almost quite a similar way to we are as people. Our accents are different regionally as well. But I think that's so amazing. I wonder if you ever could hear a Scouse chaffinch, what that might sound like. And I think that can definitely build some connection. It is so peaceful.
It is. And it's so important for young people, of course, to have that sense of their place and their surroundings.
And I think that building some connection to birdsong, particularly chaffinch, is one that's declining. And so to sort of identify with where they live and build that sense of, this is where I'm from, I'm proud of where I live. And when I'm here, I hear the chaffinches like this so much. And then I go to the radio, I think, oh, they sound completely different because they're not where you're from. And that contrast, I think, could be quite special.
Yes, absolutely. And that sense of pride that you've picked up on as well is really important as well and lovely.
It's something I think that young people really don't get to experience. I think I was the same. You know, when you're younger, you don't have lots of money, especially when you're from sort of greater London. You all sort of sit in the park together, which is nice, but you don't sort of have that same encouragement to get outside. I think things are moving in a bit more of a positive direction. And so I think getting young people outside is something that needs more attention to it.
And it links back to, I suppose, what humans did thousands of years ago, sharing knowledge and sharing experiences.
And that intergenerational gap that we have, it'd be amazing to close that and learn from each other, as well as with other young people, of course.
Absolutely. And that really brings home the decline in birds like chaffinches and greenfinches when you hear those memories.
It's a beautiful call saying. I was listening to it, I think, I've definitely heard this before lots of times, but not in the several months at least I've moved back to London.
Oh.
But they are so beautiful. I think even just, aside from their song, the colour that they have, it brings this vibrancy to nature. It's that diversity of colour. We need that in our environment as it's increasingly becoming more grey and black and white kind of colours. We need that vibrancy of colours and that vibrancy of sounds.
Let's see what's on Merlin. There's always parakeets wherever we seem to go.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, it has picked up something new. We've got greenfinch on here. I don't often hear greenfinches because, like chaffinches, they've really declined over the last few years. Because just like the greenfinches, the reason the chaffinches have declined so much is because of the same disease. And we still haven't heard one yet today.
No.
So we're heading uphill now on a sort of gravelly path. There's some nice mature trees, a nice oak tree here. I wonder if we'll have any different birds in this area.
I can see on the wire.
That's a green woodpecker laughing.
One of my favourite things, I just love to find the birds in the tree, to just stop there and try and spot them.
Take that time to pick them out, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it's almost like a fun little game. Just, can I find them? Where are they? I think that interaction with animals in that way also probably sort of subconsciously inspired me to do what I do, because I think interacting with animals, birds, anything, I think it's so relaxing, especially as now a neurodivergent person, I didn't know at the time, how calming that experience was with any sort of animal, of a grounding sort of experience in a difficult time. It's hard being a teenager.
Absolutely.
Oh, I've done my time, I can't do that again. But I think having that connection to animals really helped me. And I think having that and my interest in evolution really directed me into that sort of ecology and conservation direction, even if I wasn't quite aware that that was the right direction I was going. But I'm very, very grateful for it, because I'm so glad with what I did.
Amazing. But I think it just shows that what you're surrounded with, what you're surrounded by, can really have a profound impact on your future.
Yes, I think so. And I think having that knowledge, as somebody's, you know, now I'm 25 and I've got younger cousins, they're only about 13, thinking, how can I change things for them, bring them into these spaces? And I'm proud to say one of them quite likes birds now.
Oh,
so
that's a great sign.
We're not going to pressure them, but, you know, giving that opportunity, because especially, I suppose, in my culture as well, it just wasn't really a thing that we ever grew up with.
Uh-huh.
And so to be that sort of outdoorsy, much older cousin, to be like, do you want to come out? Should we go look at the butterflies? Should we go look at the birds? And I suppose the hope is, coming back to chaffinch, is that that might be something that they would still be able to interact with.
Absolutely.
I hope so, anyway.
Despite the sunny day, lots of wildlife sightings, and Shenizh's optimism, we don't see any chaffinches. So I leave feeling disappointed. It wasn't surprising. As the number of urban chaffinches decrease, they become rarer, harder to find. Losing urban birdsong doesn't only mean a reduction in birds, or even just the loss of unique accents. If species start to disappear, suddenly people living in urban areas are hearing less and less song. And now I'm hearing how the chaffinch call could be one of them. But I want to help Joe to discover more about their conservation. I want to help save their songs. So I contact birders around the country, telling them about Joe's research, the threat to them, and their incredible accents. And wait.
That's a chaffinch.
That's a robin.
It's not.
It's gone. It's there. That was a great.
Wow. Hi, my name is Charlotte Ely. I'm the area ranger of Leith Hill.
I heard these chaffinches in North Devon.
Morning. Been listening out for chaffinches in London. It's so.
Hi, I'm Awena, and I recorded my chaffinches near Keswick in the lake.
And the best chaffinch calls I've heard, whether that's because that's where they are or that's near Keswick.
Oh, definitely.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Wild Tales with me, Ajay Tagala.
I want to say a special thank you to everyone who sent in recordings of chaffinches from across the country. To find out more about chaffinches, Joe's research, and behind-the-scenes action, you can head to our Instagram at wildtalesnt. If you hear a chaffinch, especially in an urban area, and would like to contribute to Joe's research, please send it to joe.cooper@bto.org. We've left recording instructions in the show notes. Video podcasts from the National Trust can be found on our YouTube channel or on Spotify. While you're there, why not check out our history show, Back When, or for smaller ears, Ranger Ray and the Wildlifers. See you next time.
Wild Tales is sponsored by Cotswold Outdoor, your outside retailer and epic guides to adventure. Quick breathers, calming walks, or heart-pounding hikes. We feel better when we get out more. Find quality kit and 50 years of outdoor wisdom. Plus, National Trust supporters get 15% off walking kit in-store and online. Feel in your element, in the elements, at cotswoldoutdor.com.